Greetings, it's Greg, and I was part of a roundtable interview with some of the folks from Hemlock Grove, Netflix original horror series. This was done at the ATX Festival, the third annual ATX Festival, and I had the chance to talk to Madeline Brewer, who is Miranda Cates, is her character name, and she's new for this season, and this is season two. Landon Liberion, who plays Peter Romanchek, who is one of the main characters. He is not a vampire, he's the werewolf, and has got one of the most incredible werewolf transformation scenes ever. You've got it. If you just watch the series of just for that. I also had a chance to speak with Famke Janssen, who plays Olivia Godfrey, and I mispronounced her name, and she corrected me, and it made me feel unbelievably small, and I'm just very glad that she did not go all Phoenix on me or anything. And I also got a chance to talk to the new showrunner, Charles Chick Egley. And all of them were very fun, funny, very nice, had some great answers, and I think you will enjoy this interview. Also, since it was a roundtable interview, let me identify some of the other voices you're going to hear that are asking questions. You have Brian Particelli of TooFab.com, which is a pop culture website. They're based out of Marina Del Rey, California. And Kimberly Carmona, who is a student at UT. So, enjoy.
I'm Greg. I'm with the podcast, The TV Dudes, based out of here in Austin.
Is it actually called TV Dudes?
The TV Dudes, yeah.
It's the
TV Dudes.com.
Keeping it simple, keeping it straight to the point.
Nice.
Brian from a website called TooFab.com.
TooFab.
And I'm Kimberly with Sneak Peek at the University of Texas.
Whoa. Neo.
Hello again.
Hi.
So I guess I'll start. Just in particular, is there anything, any moment or any line or anything that when you were approached to this project that brought you in that said, I got to do this?
Oh, man. I remember reading the first episode of season one, and it was an extremely... It was like Brian had such a unique voice, you know. I'm trying to think, what's... Or just the end of episode one, where Peter and Roman are just facing each other, and just those last lines are such a cliffhanger as to what's to come, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me want to read more. What about you for season two?
I didn't really have a lot of time, but I had seen two episodes of the show because I had to just kind of get it in really fast, but. It does exactly what he said. It's a unique voice that Brian had bringing into the project, and it's just I just thought it was really cool, and I'm like a horror nerd, so that side of it too, and him.
The Degrassi.
I'm just kidding. You're really not that impressive.
It's true.
I'm kidding.
One of the worst part of the show.
Now for Mal.
We're kind to each other.
This project, you don't have to do the cornrows.
No.
It's nice to be in a role where people will recognize you a little bit more.
I get to wear makeup.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Actually, it was a lot of fun not wearing makeup because I didn't have to worry about anything. But no, it's cool. It's been fun. I don't have to get my scalp ripped out every day.
Maybe.
It's Hemlock Grove. It's been fun. It's been a really awesome transition.
And do people recognize you without the...
Yeah, I get a bit of it. It's through the eyebrows. Mm-hmm. They're like that.
Yeah.
I do get a bit of it, though. It's cool. And I thank them every time they say, I wasn't sure if it was you. I'm like, good.
So season two, can you tell us anything? I know you have a new character. Can you tell us anything about her or anything we can look forward to?
Well, there's lots to look forward to. But my character is new and is not from Hemlock Grove, so she's not a freak. I'm just kidding. But she's brand spanking new, and she's tough as nails, and she's a lot of fun. And she goes through a really, she's transformation from point A to point B at the beginning and end of the season. So that's. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you are, but and then this season I think has a lot of there's a much more human aspect to everyone instead of just the like werewolf and Upir thing going on. There's a lot of, like, you get down to who they are.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think a big part of this season, too, is, like, every character sort of individually going through their own torment.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, battling with their demons or with their
while
responsibilities.
While simultaneously dealing with, like,
with
all of the
big
shit bad. That's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just this is a big shit show happening. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, should I say shit? Sorry.
Yeah. Landon, I wanted to ask you about, like, the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen a werewolf transformation like that. I mean, going all the way back to anything in television history or movie history. I think the lowest graphic one I can remember before yours was American Werewolf from London Original.
Yeah.
So can you talk about what that took as far as preparation or any way you had to look at it?
I made a point of not watching any other transformations on film or TV because I didn't want to imitate. And a very important thing for Peter is that the werewolf isn't necessarily a curse like it traditionally is. It's kind of a gift in a way. I mean, it is a curse, but it's also a beautiful thing. It's a tradition sort of thing. And so what we wanted to do with our transformation scene was as brutal and kind of, you know, graphic as it is, it was also supposed to be a kind of a beautiful thing that was happening, like a birth.
Yeah.
You know, and for preparation it's. You never know what you're doing. it's one of those things where you kind of have to just commit.
Yeah.
And trust that, you know, the special effects team and the director are looking after you and they're going to do their job. And so all the pieces just kind of come together. It took a long time because we mixed in visual effects with natural, like when the fist punches the ground,
right,
pig
yeah.
skin.
Right.
That was pig skin that flew off. There was like little insert shots, so we did the main master outside, and then we went into studio within like over 5 months and just kind of like pieced it together until we had it. They kept on adding, taking out, all those things.
It's definitely worth it. It's great.
Cool. Yeah, and season there's a lot going on. Like you see a lot more of the werewolf stuff in season two, and also you see the reverse.
I was curious about the reverse part. Thinking, okay, you're eating your skin, so how?
Well, and
reverse?
One of the most annoying thing about the most annoying comment about the transformation for season one was like, well, how does he get his human eyes back? I'm like, how does he turn into a goddamn werewolf? It's like just use your imagination.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
You're doing too much.
Yeah, you're thinking too much.
Yeah.
You know, like if his eyes can fall out, they can come back. But so yeah, it's I know that I haven't seen any of the effects in, yet, but I know the experience of shooting it was one of the messiest. Yeah, it was very messy.
So looking forward to that.
I actually stayed on set to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wrapped, but I was like, I gotta check this out.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly.
Right on.
So do you think that is, like, the big moment for this season? Because the transformation was definitely the big moment of last season.
I wouldn't pin it on that necessarily. I think there's a lot. You see a lot more of Bill going through his stuff as well, which you didn't see a lot of in season one. And I know Fomka has a lot of pretty crazy shit going on too.
And
Price, you see a lot more of the tower, so you see a lot more of the science, kind of the Frankenstein tower business. You
whatever's
know,
so. Going
so
on.
So much happening.
Which I love the Shelley reference.
Yeah,
and just clever, very clever.
Yeah.
And how's it working with the new Shelley?
Oh, Maddie's awesome. Actually, well, we were just talking about this yesterday because we didn't get to work with her ever. It's just like
such
we would
cast.
Be like pass each other on set, but Shelley has her own thing going on. But she's such a freaking sweetheart, that girl. Maddie is so, she's so amazing. And everybody, everything I've read or anything anybody has said to me is that she's just such a phenomenal actress, and she really just Because her and I ended up just like hanging out because we're both named Maddie and we're like, let's be friends. But she was telling me a little bit about taking on the role, and she just dove right in. She's gonna be awesome. I can't wait to see actually what she brings to it.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Okay, so what's gonna happen? I just need to know what's gonna happen now that I guess Roman. Yeah, I love this show. So that's Roman cool. Found out that Lita's baby is his. Like, what's gonna happen with that? Like, it's gonna be like an argument between you and or your character and Roman, or what's gonna happen with that?
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, Peter and Roman are definitely at odds with each other. They're definitely not. Actually, I think for the first half, you don't even really see them together at all. Yeah. You know, and then her character plays a big part in kind of bringing us back together, sort of thing. And so
Miranda's here to save the day.
a beacon of light. So yeah, I mean, like, but a lot of time has passed between season two and season one. So there's a lot of everyone's kind of going through their own thing, and everything just sort of clashes in the middle.
So what would
you... Basically what I'm saying is I can't tell you anything.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. He's just beating around the bush, but he can't tell you anything. Yeah. So
the romance between you and Roman is totally broken now. And then Miranda plays the matchmaker, bringing it back together. Or are there any other...
I wouldn't say matchmaker. It doesn't really happen that way.
Or maybe an arbitrator or something like that.
It kind of just their worlds end up coming back together, mm-hmm. and Miranda's kind of the link between the two of them that has them face to face again, I think, at some point.
Do you have anything like, just from a global picture, any other interesting Miranda character moments with any of the other characters that are...
I don't know because I don't know what I can say.
Right, I gotcha.
Miranda's for me, I feel like she's pretty top secret right now, because she goes through all of the things during this season. So you just have to check it out the shitstorm that rains upon her.
Or that she brings?
Now, Landon, noticed you're freshly shaven today. Is that, you know, once you're done filming...
He doesn't have any nails.
He has short nails.
It's hard to sort of like let it go at first, because you live in it for so
live
long.
In, you yeah. live yeah. in it. Like the first time I saw him without a beard or without his nails, especially, I was like, "Who? I don't even know you."
Yeah. So it's definitely nice to shed it.
Yeah.
But generally, I look like a piece of crap. So
no,
this is just for you. This is just for you guys.
So, are you anything like Peter, or anything like your characters?
Anything about him?
Like, are you?
You're totally like Peter.
Oh, like a character.
Yeah, you're totally like Peter. Miranda's much cooler than me and has a much better
wardrobe. I was just gonna say,
like, she's so much cooler than me. Yeah. But it's just in being a character, you have to bring a piece of your own self, because it's just who you are. Their mannerisms are going to be like you, and you're going to watch it and see yourself. Like when the only other experience I have with that is Trisha from Orange is the New Black, and I look at her and I'm like, but that's just me being awkward. So yeah, definitely, I'm a lot like Miranda. She's cooler, but because of me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It does make sense.
God, that's a cool light.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. That's crazy.
We have time for one more question from everybody.
I have a question, and maybe you guys can chime in on this, too. How does Hemlock Grove stand out from all the other genre shows? Like, you got, like, Penny Dreadful, American Horror Story, Walking Dead, True Blood,
things definitely like that. Definitely a moment right now.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, each one has its own kind of characters, its kind of own kind of coloring to how dark or how funny it gets. How would you guys describe how the difference, and maybe how do you get more of some of those fans that haven't checked you guys out yet to really check you guys out?
Go ahead.
Okay. I personally, having worked now on my second Netflix show, just Netflix overall is a much more, it's a much different experience just watching the show, especially being able to go and watch 10, 13 episodes at a time. I think this show has, like you have Vampire Diaries and True Blood, things sort of like this, that don't have, truthfully, like the characters are so brilliant, and what they go through is so specific and so intense, and you won't find it on any other show. I think I'm answering that question.
I think just with Brian's creation of season one and what he kind of he really wanted to do what I think Jim Jarmusch just did with Only Lovers Left Alive, that kind of throwback to why we love vampires, why we love werewolves,
instead
why,
of just the like
the romance,
the surface
of it.
Romance
and,
thing,
yeah, and making it look
because
pretty
it's so much more than that,
yeah, and I think with the addition of Chick Egley. It was already twisted before with him. He just twisted it another notch in a, like, so it's just the creation of really. David Strayton, our directing producer, said something really interesting, and he said, "You kind of have to be a weirdo to be on the show." Yeah. I think it's a collection of really kind of unique, strange people.
People,
and I think,
that bring so many different energies.
Yeah.
And different ideas, and I mean, Chick Egley is an interesting person.
Yeah.
And he brought this whole other thing. Like you said, he just turned it another notch, and. I think that that's what's really, really interesting about our show is it's like not like anything you can see on anything else.
Yeah. It's ugly.
It gets pretty ugly. Yeah.
It's ugly. It's
and it's like Hemlock Grove isn't afraid to be ugly.
Mm.
It's like. Can I say that? I was covered in 75 pounds of blood.
Sure.
All right. I was covered in 75 pounds of blood. That's not something I would have expected. And it's like we get right down to. The story is so strong, I think, and then it's like all the blood and gore and guts is just fun.
Now, during the Orange is the New Black panel, Danielle Brooks was saying something I thought was very interesting for the whole Netflix age, that people, they watch all the shows all at once, and then the next day, you guys are celebrities. It's like, overnight, everyone watches everything, and then, bam, you have all these new Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And suddenly, people know who you are. Just wondering what that's like.
I think it's the YouTube generation sort of thing. Like,
it's
what's scary about something like that. Just talking about a career is that because it's so fast, you're being a celebrity or being recognized for your work or whatever can flash before your eyes just as fast. So it's scary to like maintain, and it's what's interesting about like watching just like how. It's like how fast stuff comes out and the distance between the two seasons coming out and even being renewed. The other like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black was renewed
before
for a third season before it even came out.
Yeah.
So it's like it's
it happens
so
very
different.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Personally, I was working at a restaurant during shooting Orange, and then all of a sudden Orange came out. I was still working in a restaurant. People would recognize me and be like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Thank you. What would you like to drink?" But it happens so quickly, and there's like no time to really catch up. And it's like people see me on the street, and they're like, "Oh my God, you're a person! Like you do." I'm like, "Well, yeah." And I'm. It's like it feels to other people because they just were in that world for so long and they watched it and they sat and it feels like these people are like superstars. And I know I went crazy for Danielle Brooks especially because she just shot right up, like insane. And it happens overnight and it's kind of scary. It's like, what? Because
yeah.
Then it feels almost like you have to be this person that you weren't yesterday because now everybody knows your name because of this. Not saying everybody knows my name, whatever. But for Taylor Schilling, she was not this. She had done some brilliant work, but she is now like Taylor Schilling. So it's kind of cray cray. It's pretty cray cray.
Do you have one more question?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool.
Good.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, guys.
Would you mind if I get a picture of you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
It's funny because I was leaving my apartment and my fiance was on the couch watching Orange
I'm only on episode 3 and I'm freaking out because I really want to watch it.
She might be on episode 3.
I'm bugging.
Oh, she's in front of me. It's cool.
Is she leaving? Thanks. Is that all about?
Right on. Thank you so much for your time and everything. Mm-hmm. Good answers, too.
Oh, thanks. I don't really know what I'm doing.
That's even better.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys, we're
going to
go next door.
Enjoy
TV News.
Yeah.
TV News.
Check it out.
We're
going
to go to the right.
Actually, okay. I'm going to give you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Dude, I want to credit you. I'm just probably going to play this whole thing. I want to credit you guys. So, you guys have cards right
there? Yes.
And I'll just give you my card even though I didn't say anything with TV dudes on it, but you can find me in the world.
Did I not fill out my cards?
How about that?
There we go.
Give me mine.
Ryan and Kimberly.
Hi.
Hello,
how are you guys?
It's fine. Good. How are you?
Where do you want us?
Where are you
right
from?
There,
I guess right
great.
Here would be fun.
Thank you for the for pitching in on the Rockford thing.
Oh,
it's
no
just
problem.
Like it just, you know how you're standing
you.
There and you're looking at a camera and you go, now what am I? what was I thinking?
Oh no, I love that show.
Yeah, it was really terrific.
You want to go in reverse order this time?
No difference to me.
No.
Go for it.
Okay. So where are you folks from? Can you tell us about us?
Yeah.
Are yourselves a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let Funka take a picture of you guys.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I'm Kimberly. I'm with Sneak Peek with the University of Texas, and this is Christian.
Hey, Christian. How are you?
Hi, I'm Brian from a website called twofab.com.
And I'm Greg, and I'm from a website called thetvdudes.com.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Oh, cool. I guess...
Should I start?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start. I'll start with the last question that I asked Landon and Madeline. Was there anything in particular that brought you guys to this series? Like, was there a scene for you, or since you're coming in the second season, or is there anything that you said, I have the opportunity to do this, I got to do this?
Yes, initially. I mean, I only had the first script to go by and the novel. But in the first scene, or one of the first scenes where we see Olivia in season one, where she asks her son Roman to go shopping with her, and he declines, and
yeah.
she ends up extinguishing her cigarette in
yeah.
his clothing.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm intrigued. I want to see where we take this. I thought it was a fun way to start a character and see where that may bring us.
Well, I had the luxury of... looking at the fine work that was done last season to create this incredibly inviting, evocative, haunted world. And it just seemed to me to be just a very rich place for storytelling. And you've got wonderful actors, you've got a beautifully produced show, and just the world of Hemlock Grove was just a place that I wanted to come mess around in.
Cool.
Now, is there some more freedom this season because you're not really held to the book as much? Because the book covered all of season one.
Oh, yes, we're not held to the book at all.
Now you can do whatever you want. Is there something that, you know, you really can't wait for fans to see that's new?
Everything, really, I think. It's
yeah.
Because we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
I make it a point, and this is I say this with all love and respect for Brian. I haven't read his book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the Dexter book, I try to just react to try to stay in the moment a little bit more and not be not have the gravitational field of the original work, you know, bend my thinking about it. I'm just was responding to the work that was done last season as a jumping off point to tell really cool, remarkable stories. And yes, I'm very excited for the audience to see what we're doing this season, because I think people are in for lots of surprises and a very pleasant experience.
And not just gore or blood related, by the way. Great character development. I just want to add, there's a lot of intrigue, a lot of different unexpected surprises
to come.
Yeah.
So how was having, a permanent Shelley on set? Because I know season one, there's different actresses playing Shelley, and now there's one person playing in season two. How is that?
Well, again, I responded so strongly to the idea of that character, and I was watching what was happening on the message boards with the fans, and my daughter is 23, and it struck me that Shelley, in addition to being the beating heart of the show, also was, a surrogate for the viewer and the demands that are put in this culture on young women and what they should look like and how they should act and behave. Just seemed to me that you stand in front of a mirror and it doesn't matter how attractive or you are or whatever, all you see is the imperfections, and the fact that Shelley is also the most beautiful character in a way because she's so pure. It struck me as an opportunity to go out and find a really, really good actor, and we were so fortunate in finding that one.
Famke, I wanted to ask you, how do you approach the complexity of Olivia? I mean, she's like smooth, kind of in control, but then underneath, there are some things that bother her. She's got a complex relationship with her son. Her ex-brother-in-law and all that stuff. I mean, it seems like you get to go a lot of places with that. So how do you approach that?
It's Famke.
Famke, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize.
Everybody gets it wrong. It's a great question because I think the setup of Olivia was great in season one, but where we're taking it in season two is really what I'm most excited about, because generally, and I am not speaking from experience at all, I know nothing about being a control freak. I'm not one in my life. So given that, I tend to find that people who are trying very much to control situations around them have a specific kind of, need to protect certain things, to maybe act out of fear at certain times, whatever the underlying things are. It's a really great way to start with a character and find out where does the trying to control situations around her, where does that come from? And we really get to explore that a lot more in season. I mean, it's not even comparable. In season two, it's really the journey as it relates to Olivia of, an emotional, a spiritual, a physical journey and from where we see her last, going in a body bag with her tongue ripped out and her having to come back from that and trying to make amends with certain things that have happened in her past and trying to embrace certain parts of her future. And so it became very challenging and very interesting. Mm-hmm. And, it was wonderful that Chick actually also wrote humor into the character in the way that I always thought that, we were talking specifically about the first scene that attracted me to Olivia, where I thought, well, this is somebody who has humor, which I believe is very much part of a complex human being, because life is complicated and dark and difficult, and I don't think anybody can survive it unless you have a good, healthy sense of humor about yourself and the circumstances. And so that is what we got to incorporate this season, which is great.
Now, how quickly will we find out how you're still around? I mean, the end of
very
yeah
yeah. You won't have to wait long. July 11th, you'll find out right away. And trust me, you don't have to binge watch for 10 hours before you know that.
When the season ended, did you know that they if it did come back for a second season.
No, nobody knew anything.
So that must have felt nice. So they're like, we're going to bring you back.
Yes, it's great. I did know I was an OOP here, and I guess there's longevity there.
You've been around for a while.
Yeah, somehow I have that. They seem to have that ability in movies, just in the way in the X-Men movies, where I keep coming back in some shape or form.
Were you happy, I guess, because the still picture from that Netflix release, you're wearing purple. Was it nice wearing something that's not white? Because also someone's like white with like... maybe like a blue ribbon or something.
Yeah, white was really the color. I mean, it was in the novel, and we decided to just stay true to that in the first season. But because we're seeing such a different Olivia in season two, the starting point is an entirely different being, really, in where she is emotionally, spiritually, physically, everything. So that change was really something that Chick wanted, and I am so glad that we went for sort of more earth tones, and they really work perfectly with her transformation and where we see her, the arc of the character throughout the season.
And for me, it was just I think my epitaph would be fill your life with color.
That's cool. Can you guys talk about, I guess, the differences with working with Netflix? I know, Chick, you have a lot of experience working with networks too. Like, how that does that approach change, like maybe some of the processes you go through, or like everything from like the marketing of the show to interacting with fans, and to just the process of filming and how long you have the film and all that kind of stuff.
You want to start?
Sure, I'll be short, but this is I think you'll have a lot more to say on it. I don't have a ton of experience with television, personally. I did one season of Nip Tuck, which was really incredible. What I learned from working with Ryan Murphy at the time is that because nothing is set in stone when you start a season, people can write for you throughout the season because you do something as an actor that may inspire a writer, group of writers, the showrunner, to come up with taking the arc in a different direction than maybe they had sort of mapped out initially. So I thought it was a really great way of working. Most of the time in film, you don't have that experience because you start with a good blueprint of what that's going to be like, and generally you don't have the time or the money to go and make the changes throughout. So I thought as an actor, that's a really great... It's so collaborative. I mean, film in general, any kind of filmmaking, whether that's television or film, is an extremely collaborative art form, and what's what attracts me to it. But in the fact that you can help shape a character that one person feeds off or people feed off of one another, I think that was really the experience I had in doing... Nip Tuck that attracted me to it. Now, in addition to that, the fact that, you know, Netflix came up with this model of putting all shows on at the very same time, the writing is different than we've seen traditionally on network television, especially with, you know, breaks for commercials and arcs or cliffhangers at specific moments, whatever. It just gives a whole new way for filmmakers, but I can only speak, you know, as an actor in this case, of approaching character, of putting material out there, of, you know, it's to me, I kind of see it as somewhere between a 10-hour movie and, you know, a television show, but it's its own thing. So it's really been very, very exciting to be part of.
Cool.
First time I've been part of the future of my life.
You know, the production of a television show hasn't changed. You know, we wake up in the morning and go about making a television show the way people were doing it back in the 1950s. But the nature of the content has changed profoundly because the audience has changed. And I think I've learned in my career, it sort of proves McLuhan's theorem of you know, the medium being what the message is. And, you know, I started in broadcast television. And ad-supported, so structurally with act breaks for commercials, and that influenced the writing. Bruce Paltrow used to talk about, I remember turning in a script and something just, you know, in your face happened in the first scene. He said, what are you doing, Chick? He said, you know, you come in, you're sitting down, you put your bowl of popcorn there, you're fluffing up the cushions, you're sitting down to watch your show, and suddenly the kids are in bed, you're leaning back, and then you want the story to unfold. You don't want to just smack somebody in the head before they've sat down on the couch and gotten comfortable. Well, obviously, we're writing for a different viewer now in Netflix than I was back then, and you know, broadcast television. It's often said that the perfect broadcast show is characters talking about what they're going to do. You see the characters go and do it, and then they come back and talk about what they've just done, because that way you can come in anywhere, anytime, and be completely up to speed on what the story is without feeling lost. You can get up and go in the other room and make a ham sandwich. You can go call your girlfriend or whatever and come back, and you haven't missed anything. The storytelling, the opportunities that we're afforded with storytelling on Netflix is, you know, we have an incredibly literate audience that does almost a Talmudic study of these episodes, where they're looking at every frame and every little nuance and trying to decipher meaning and stuff, which is great. It first of all, really keeps writers honest in storytelling, because people really have, you know, the opportunity to think about it. You know, it's so funny. I was just coming in from the airport yesterday, and the guy that was driving the car said, you know, you worked on Walking Dead, right? I said, yeah. And he said, can you answer one question for me? And I said, sure, what is it? And he goes, how come when the guy woke up, he never asked what the hell happened? And, you know, it's just you're writing to an audience that is very invested in the material, and that is a wonderful opportunity, but it changes the nature of stories being told. And also, just to wrap this up, but because we're not constrained by the FCC and the different sort of sliding scale of what's permissible in different time slots and access to, you know, basic cable and ratings and all of that stuff, we don't have to worry about any of that on Netflix.
I'm sure when you first...
This is the last question.
Okay. I'm sure it's very different when you read something in the script and then when you finally see all the special effects and the props. Is there something that you saw and you're like, this is so much sicker than I thought it would be?
There are some things coming this season where you'll understand that I may have felt that way. But I'd really rather not give anything away.
Okay.
But there are many shocks and surprises throughout. But really what I'm very pleased with this season is that we're not heavily featured in the gore department, mm-hmm. where it just becomes, you know,
what
this,
is that?
Yeah, you're numbed by how much and frequently it's interspersed throughout. It has a specific meaning when it does come. Mm-hmm. But there are moments.
That's good. Because I think last season the big moment was the transformation, and that obviously was a very important moment, which...
Right.
We have lots of moments
like
this
that.
Season. Good. Lots and lots of moments.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.